Hi, I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. This week, my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, and her guest, Billy Brim, are going to continue their study on the glory of God. Now, the emphasis this week is on how to walk in the glory in your own life. You know, when you were born again, it was the glory of God that made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And this is the key to success on every level. And when we stay in the Word of God, we keep growing. We are continually changed from glory to glory. So right now, I want you to get your Bible and let's join Gloria Copeland for today's Bible lesson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Billy's back today with some more interesting, wonderful news about the day we live in and how to live it. Hallelujah. So don't miss any of the broadcast. Billy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Gloria. And our subject is the glorious church.
The glorious church.
And our key scripture is in the book of Ephesians 5, verse 25. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her.
Yes.
With the washing of water by the word, that he might present her
Hallelujah.
To himself
Thank
a
Lord.
Glorious church.
Oh, yes, Lord. That's what we want.
Not a church that's hiding in a cave somewhere, barely making it, you know, like a little worm. No.
No.
He's the most glorious bridegroom ever there was, and he's coming for a glorious bride.
Amen.
That
Hallelujah.
He might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Praise God.
And so that's what we're talking about. We've been talking about the glory of God. We've traced the glory of God all down through the Bible, really. And we'll be doing it. You should listen more. You can go on Roku. You can go on KCM.org.
Yes.
And you can find these and catch up to where we are, because we're really quite a ways along in our study. I'm going to give you a word that came a year ago, exactly, in October. And it came through me. You have come to the time now for the lightning and the glory
yes.
of the unseen to be manifest to
Praise
you.
God.
That means you can see it. You have come to the time when the things of earth are growing dimmer. Earth's magnetism will soon release you. The gravitational hold will be taken away. But until that day, degree by degree, step by step.
Praise God.
More and more the glory
yes,
will shine
Lord.
Through you.
Yes, Lord.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, degrees of glory,
degrees.
The measure of glory, how it moves by degree from glory to glory, like
yes.
the Bible says.
Yeah.
Your eyes will see even more than you've seen before, and that more that you cry for will come unto you. Things you grasp, you'll let go of. Grudges you've held will hold you no more. Fires of lust
Freedom.
Will hold you no
Freedom.
More.
Freedom.
Freedom will ring within your soul, even as now it does in your spirit.
Praise
See, your spirit,
God.
Your spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, your spirit's free. But those, that enemy will try through your mind, your emotions.
Sidetrack you.
He'll try to hold you still captive. So I'm going to read that line again. Freedom will ring within your soul, even as now it does in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Free
Praise
shall
God.
My bride
yes.
be.
Yes, oh yes, Lord.
And the manifestation of me shall show up on your face.
Hallelujah.
And the glory and the grace in every place you go. And we're going to manifest the glory, Gloria, before we go.
Praise God.
I've heard Brother Hagin prophesy that so many times, that our faces will shine with the glory of God because he's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Sign.
Yes. And then as he grows degree by degree by degree by degree and takes over your outer man, then the world will see the manifestation of the sons of God.
Praise
Back
God.
To the word.
Yes, that's right.
The time has come and that you know, but this isn't the whole of it. This isn't the all. You really are barely beginning.
Praise God.
But steps and degrees will increase quickly.
Quickly, I like quickly. Glory to God.
And the Master will become everything to you.
That's an awesome word, isn't it?
The Master will become everything to you. It's like that old song, Gloria. The things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Yes.
In the light of His glory and grace.
Everything to you. That's a good word for us.
You know, and we're the bride.
Yeah.
And a bride that's really in love with her husband, she just can't wait till that wedding day. Her thoughts are all on it. Preparation. Even in the Word of God, it says, and the bride hath made herself ready.
Yes, that's right.
So that's why we're giving ourselves to what the hope, what the Word says about the glory. Because it's supposed to be a glorious church.
Glorious church.
So we're looking at what the Word says. You always, about anything in life, you should think, what does the Word say on that?
That's right. Yep.
You shouldn't think, oh, brother and so-and-so, he's bad, mean, and so da-da-da-da. You don't supposed to look at brother so-and-so. You're supposed to look, what does the Word say?
That's right. Amen.
Let's say brother so-and-so, this preacher died young. Well, I don't know about divine healing. That preacher, really good, nice, sweet brother, he died young. You don't ever look at other people to find out anything. You don't stop going to church because of other people. You think first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Pay attention to my word.
Yes, that's right.
And what it says. So we're looking at what God's word says about the glory. If we're going to be the glorious church, we're going to be manifesting God's glory. What is God's glory? Well, it's the presence of God.
Of Himself.
It's Himself. It's the presence of God manifested. Yes. So you could see it. In the Old Testament, we went over it last week. It would be like a smoke, like a fire, like a cloud. But you can see it. And Moses' face shone.
Yes, it did.
With it. And so the Bible says ours will too. Bless God.
Hallelujah.
So, we're going to look at what the Word says about the glory of God in a believer, in a new creation. There are three groups of people in the earth, the Jews, the nations, and the church. And we're in the third group. And it says about that third group, it tells us things. Now, here's the Jews and the Gentiles in the Old Testament. Now, here comes Jesus. He dies on the cross. He sheds His blood. And now, any person, any Jew, any Gentile, you only have to believe one thing, that God raised Jesus from the dead. You don't have to believe in divine healing, tongues, nothing. You just have to believe Jesus died for your sins and God raised Him. And then, if you confess
it. I believe it.
Yes, ma'am. And if you believe it in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you say it with your mouth, you're born again.
Confession is made unto salvation.
Yes, that's exactly right, Gloria. Confession is made unto salvation.
Oh, yes.
So you did it. I remember. What'd you say to Him now?
Well, I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to say, but here's what I said. I said, take my life and do something with it, Lord. I never dreamed this would be it, but that's
no,
what I said.
No, you become shy in a way.
And I'm so glad I did.
You're so glad you did. You said, be my Lord.
Yeah.
You said, do something with me. Yeah. I give my life to you to do something with.
That's right.
And He knows what to do with every life. So when you do that.
He's got a plan for everybody.
He does. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And 1 Thessalonians tells us you are a spirit.
Yeah.
You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body, but you are a spirit. The Bible talks about the inner man and the outward man. And when you're born again in that inner man, everything becomes new the minute.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost kills you, really. Kills that old man. He's gone.
Replaces him.
And you get the life of God, the seed of God. You're born.
A new creation, the Bible says.
A new creation right here. And some translation said a new species. Something that never, ever was before. I don't like people. I used to be a Gentile, but I'm not anymore. I was in a church service once and the pastor said, everybody who's Gentiles, raise your hand. I didn't raise my hand. I sit on them. He kept saying, if you're a Gentile, raise your hand. I'm not one. I wouldn't do it. I can't go against a word.
You don't want to lie in
church. I don't want to lie in church.
No.
I used to be one, but I ain't no more.
That's right.
I'm in that third group. I'm a brand new creation.
Amen.
Now we're going to look at what happens to you as a brand new creation, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And I did print it out over here, Gloria, but I'm going to look kind of back and forth between my Bible and between it because I got notes inside and everything in my Bible. Our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Mm-hmm. Now, the New Testament tells us that we're born again by the gospel of grace. God's grace. It's just like a big old ocean up there of grace.
Just the favor of
goodness.
God.
But it's got to get to you through faith. By grace through faith. Mm-hmm. So you exercise faith in the grace of God. And that's the good news, the gospel of grace.
That's right.
But Satan, he doesn't want people to know about it. He wants them to think they got to work themselves and religion's no fun and why not just forget it. So he hides it. He has blinding tactics. It says here in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So I know you all know people that are not believers. It's hidden to them. They don't see it. They don't even see why you see it.
That's right.
Why don't they see it? Because the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest something would happen. The light of the what? Glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
The gospel full of glory.
Exactly. Exactly, Glow.
Hallelujah.
What a great name you've got, Gloria.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. But think about it. If you're going to be a glorious church, it's going to take the gospel of glory to get you into it.
That's right.
And it's called the gospel of glory. Remember we studied how man fell from the glory?
Yeah.
But God then has sent the Lord of glory. Oh, we went into this detail last week. You got to go back and get it. He sent the Lord of glory that we could be lifted back up presence of His glory. And it wouldn't kill us.
It's an awesome plan.
It's an awesome plan.
Hallelujah.
I think this Bible is a story of the glory.
Yes, it is.
So He's got these people blinded like a hammerlock on them because He doesn't want them to find out they can move into the glory
that they're
world.
Free from Him.
Yes. He does not want the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel. Now, that's important. God doesn't put extra words in the Bible. It's the glorious gospel of the Anointed One, who is the image of God. Remember that. Now, He's the image of God, Jesus, should shine unto them.
Praise God.
Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus
Christ.
Praise God. Now, God who said, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's a reference to Genesis 1, 2. God said to that dark, dank world that it had become after Satan fell, light be.
Yes.
And that same God, in the dark little spirits that are dead to God, He wants to say, light be, and shine unto them, and give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the whole great plan of the
Praise
glory
God.
Of God to give you right and access back into God's presence. And you'd be a part of the glorious church.
Yes, amen.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
It's our choice.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So when you got born again, you got God starts giving you light on the glory. Right. This is not a side issue in the church. This is not a side issue in the Bible.
That's what it's all about.
It's what it's all about. It's the story of the glory. So He wants to say, when you got born again down there at the altar or wherever you were watching television, like Jesse was watching Billy Graham, whatever, He said, light be. And suddenly, Jesse, I'm thinking about Jesse this morning, Jesse Duplantis, the light started shining. And what light? On the glory
Praise
of God.
God.
Now, we've been talking about the mystery of the church. how it was hidden from ages and generations. Old Testament? No. The New Testament church is not a fulfillment of prophecy. It was a mystery. It's hidden. So now here is succinctly Colossians 1:26, that mystery. Many places it talks about it in the New Testament in the letters. All the Bible's for the church, but not all the Bible's about the church. The Bible about the church is the New Testament letters. So in the New Testament letters, after Paul got the revelation of the mystery, here it is succinctly. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now it's made manifest. Paul got this revelation after 17 years of being, we went into that, being aside. God gave him the revelation. Mm-hmm. And here's the mystery. To whom, Colossians 1:27, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here's the mystery of the church.
Yes.
Really succinctly.
Hallelujah.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Think about it.
Hope of the manifest presence of God. Mm-hmm. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And now we turn back a page and we see how this works. He comes, Christ in you. He's your hope of glory, and he comes by degree. When you're born again, you have all the glory you can tolerate at that moment. Any more might kill your flesh. But you've got a degree of the glory of God in you. Now that is supposed to increase until it takes you over. And we turn back a page in my Bible, and we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and it talks about some people who, when they read the Bible, they got a veil on their face. But it says here in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with an open face, we don't have a veil over us.
No.
After you got born again. We all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, that means mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, we all, see, and what's it talking about? Looking in the Word. Some people have a veil over their heads when they look in the Word. Everybody
blinded,
does.
Blinded eyes.
They don't have it. They can't see it clearly. But once you get born again, you don't have that veil anymore. And you look in the Word. We all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you're born again, you have all the glory you can stand. You look in the Word and you look for the glory of God, and the Holy Ghost is working on you, and He's changing you from one degree of glory. You can have more and more and more of the presence of God, the power of God manifested in you. But you got to look in the Word. Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Here it is in the Amplified. Whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of God, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory
Praise
to another.
God. Hallelujah.
For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit.
As we continue to behold in the Word of God,
in the Word
changed.
Of God, He changes. The Holy Ghost changes you.
Yes.
It's His job to change you.
If you don't continue,
you're not getting changed. It's your job to go in the Word and look for the glory of God.
Praise
God. I worked for Kenneth E. Hagin, you know, in 1970. I started working for him. He's a great man of God, man of great faith and great love and great power.
Yes, he was.
And I was the editor of publications, and he'd be out on a crusade somewhere, and I needed to talk to him about something I'm going to put in the Word of Faith or in a book. So I would say, when Brother Hagin comes home, I need to talk to him. And he'd walk in the office, and I'd get tongue-tied. I couldn't even say what I needed to ask him about.
He didn't help you either.
And he stood there.
Talk.
No, you know, Brother Hagin. And so he'd just stand there, you know, and I was bum-fuzzled. I felt like God walked in the room. So I would beat myself up. I'd say, Billy Brim, you know that that man is not God. Why are you acting like that? So years later, when God could tell me and teach me, he said, this is the plan. You get the glory of God. You look in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost changes you. And then the glory increases, the glory degree by degree.
Yeah.
The glory of God is the presence of God manifested.
You grow up.
Uh-huh. He said, Brother Hagin and some of the other people, they have yielded to the plan. And so it is God you sense. It's God in them.
Yeah.
The glory, the presence of God. No, they're not God, but the presence in God, they're more and more and more to the image of Jesus.
They're indwelt by him.
Yeah. And he's risen degree by degree by degree upon them. Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
So then later I met other people, the same thing.
We grow up and increase.
The glory, the presence increases on you.
And we don't ever quit growing up.
Until we're into the very image of the Master.
Praise God. Yes. The very image, his very own image, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. Now, as we get born again, we begin to learn what the Bible teaches and obey it and accept it and say it, confess it, we begin to grow up spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this is talking about. Mm-hmm. We're transformed, and we don't ever quit growing. Mm-hmm. No, we may not ever quit growing after we go to heaven.
I think you're probably right about that, Glo.
But we know we don't quit growing down here. So mm-hmm. we stay in the Word. We get in a good church or under a good teacher that teaches the Word of God, not just ideas, but the Word of God.
Right.
And we're changed. We're continually changed. Glory to God.
Today, my grandmother Gloria Copeland and her guest Billy Brim are going to continue talking about the glory of God being the manifested presence of God. And we see the story of God's glory woven all throughout the Bible. And today, we're going to find out where the glory of God resides and how it's destined to manifest in these end of days. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, right now, I want you to get your Bible and join Gloria Copeland for today's Bible lesson.
Billy Brim's with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and she's stirring us up. So don't miss any of these broadcasts. Tell us, Billy, what we're studying today.
You know, I wish everybody had been with us last week, because we talked about the glory of God and how I came to study it. And when I studied it in depth, I came to see that the Bible is the story of the glory.
Yes, it is.
And that when he made Adam, he crowned him with glory. And then when God came in the evening, because Adam wore the glory of God is the presence of God.
Yes.
He wore it as a crown. He wore it as his clothing. But then when Satan tempted him, he fell from the glory. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. And then when God came walking in the garden, he said, where are you, Adam? He knew he was. He said, I hid myself. We hid ourselves.
Didn't work.
No. Who told you you were naked? Well, they weren't naked before. They wore glory.
Yeah.
But since man fell from the glory,
he can no longer
abide God. He can no longer stand God. God's presence is too much for him.
That's right.
So God really had to separate himself from his children. And he was separated for more than 2,000 years. And then the glory reappeared, the presence of God. Moses was out there and he saw that burning bush.
Yeah.
And then he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt under Moses. And he said, now bring them out here to this mountain. I want to meet with them. This is as close as he's gotten. Because earth's under a curse. So he cleans them off the top of that mountain. And I mean fire, lightning spews.
Ooh.
And he said, now, you children of Israel, you stand back. Don't come up here close. You could get hurt. And so then Moses goes up into the cloud. He gives him the written word. Thank God, I'd hate to live before you had the written word.
Goodness.
But then he says to Moses, first thing, Exodus 25, have them bring me an offering. And what I want to do with the offering is I want to make a place where I can meet with them. I want to dwell among them. And it's called the Ochel Moed. It's the tent of meeting. And so Moses, he was told exactly how to do that tabernacle. He saw the pattern of it, and he did it. And so we come to this wonderful line, Exodus 40:33, so Moses finished the work. Then, when the work is finished,
when it was finished,
the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Praise God.
The presence of God.
Yes, amen.
Now, they move then from the tabernacle. They have that tabernacle. It's in Shiloh for 369 years. But then God has always told them there's a place for it to be, that he's going to put his name. And David discovers that place, and it is the Temple Mount. Today we know it as the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah. Now, because we are right smack dab in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's when this happened, Sukkot, as it's called in by the Hebrews, I'm going to read what happened exactly this time of year, exactly this week. So now they're going to move the glory. They're going to move this Ark of the Presence, it's called, Ark of the Presence. Mm-hmm. And the Shekhinah glory was seen over it, you know, all the time. They're going to move it into the temple. And so I'm going to read this in
carefully, very carefully.
Very carefully. They've learned their lessons. 2 Chronicles 5:1. Thus all the work that Solomon did for the house of the Lord was finished. You have to get to that line that the house is finished.
Yes, amen.
2 Chronicles 5:11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course, 4,000 of them. Also the Levites, the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, arrayed in white linen and having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with shofars. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good.
Yes.
For his mercy endureth
forever.
For he is good. They did it over and over. His mercy endureth forever. Antiphonally. Then the house was filled with a cloud.
Praise God.
Even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the
Praise
house
you, Jesus.
Of God.
The glory filled the house. Oh,
now,
yeah. What a day.
Here we are. Come down to the new covenant. Come down to the letters that tell us about the church. And here we see in Hebrews chapter 3:6, but Christ is the Son over his own house.
Oh.
The anointed one is the Son over his own house, whose house we are.
Glory to God.
So now there's another house for the glory. This one isn't in a tabernacle. This one isn't in a fixed location of a tent. This house can walk around.
And talk. Preach. Hallelujah.
And this house is made up of new creations.
Yeah.
And we are told in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are told that we are a house. And I'm going to turn there. I have part of it down here, but Gloria, I'm going to turn back into read it out of my Word here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Actually, 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God?
Don't you know?
Don't you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy.
Yes, amen.
Which temple you are.
Praise.
Sometimes I think this is lost on Westerners.
Yes, I agree.
They don't really realize the holiness of a temple. What is holiness? It means set apart. Here we have strawberries. Mm-hmm. So if I take this strawberry and set it over here, I cut it out from those other strawberries. And let's say we're going to give this one to Ken Copeland. So this is cut out and set apart for Ken. The temple of God is holy. We are the church. We are taking out of every tongue, every tribe, and we are separated into an ecclesia,
yeah,
an assembly, mm-hmm, and we're separate. You're supposed to be separate. You're not supposed to be in bed with the world. You're supposed to be knowing God lives in me. I'm the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. Look at the next time that Paul talks about this. 1 Corinthians 6. And he's going to talk about some sin that's come about. We'll start with verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ, the Anointed One? Remember what Ephesians says, you're bone of his bone, flesh
that's
of his
right.
flesh.
That's right.
Know you not that your bodies are members of the Anointed One? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? You know, he's talking about like sexual sin. God forbid. Oh, brother. Mm-hmm. I just heard of another preacher who's been into some stuff for years and years that has to do with pornography. Mm. Don't you know that when you're sitting there, if you're really born again, in front of that television and that computer where you drew it up, that pornography, the Holy Ghost is in you.
That's right.
Paul would say, what's the matter with you? Don't you know you're a temple? I'm telling you, you bring the wrong things into the temple. You bring the wrong things into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. You're dead. So what happens to you in the New? No power. No glory. He cannot rise up in you degree by degree. You might still be born again, these things in your flesh. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to have the glory. Mm-mm. And you're not going to have the power.
Not going to have the blessing.
You're not going to have the blessing. Mm-mm. You can't. God can't bless it. Know you not that your bodies are the members of the Anointed One? Shall I then take the members of the Anointed One and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? That's what Paul says. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yes.
Flee fornication. That's sexual sin. My daughter Shelley always says, it's hard to fornicate when you're fleeing. Flee fornication.
Run.
Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Now, what's so wrong with this? Here you get another what from Paul. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost,
Jesus. Yes.
Which is in you, which you have not of God? You are not your own. You don't belong to you.
That's right.
You're bought with a price. What is that price that you're bought with?
The blood.
The blood. The blood of Jesus on that cross. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know?
That's our responsibility.
That's our responsibility.
That's our job.
It's your job, Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a good job of it.
Praise God.
You do. And Ken does.
Well, you have to work at it because it doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
You're turned the other way. But if you follow God and you listen to Him, you put your eyes on His Word, get it down in your ears, get it down in your heart, and set yourself to do what it says, it works.
It works, and He changes you then.
It changes
from one degree of glory
yes.
to
Amen.
The next,
yes.
so that
Amen.
You can have a more of God manifest in your temple.
That's right. We grow. We keep growing.
And that's what the
world... If we do it right, we keep growing.
It's written. Mm-hmm. And the world is looking to see God in men.
That's their greatest need.
That's their greatest need.
That's right.
They need to see a glorious church. They need to see a church manifesting God.
That's right.
Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 6. And we're, now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 6.
Okay.
These are all kind of in, an easy order to remember. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. So here he's talking about it again. And he says in verse 4, be ye not, or is that 14? 14. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And that word fellowship means working together as partners and partakers. So what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord hath the anointed one, Christ, with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
What in common do we have with idols?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's right.
As God has said in verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
So he calls the believer righteousness. Mm-hmm. He calls them light. He calls them Christ, the anointed one. He calls them the temple of God. And he says that they have no agreement with idols. And he says, you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. Remember, God told Moses, you tell those people I want to dwell with them.
Yeah.
But he got to make a little tent out there because they're not ready. They haven't had the blood of Jesus shed for them.
That's right.
And so they make a tent, and that Shekinah glory is over that tent. But now the blood has been shed, and God, who loves you so much,
you,
comes to live inside you.
Praise God.
And changes you
mm-hmm.
from glory to glory.
Praise God.
I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John G. Lake's daughter was a friend of mine. And John G. Lake was in Africa when the bubonic plague came. And the people were afraid to bury the dead because they were afraid they'd get it. So he had a ministry, he and this black native pastor that worked with him. They would every day bury the dead. One day they put 30 people in a black mass grave. He told her that they would go into a home and they would take this one dead child lying next to its sibling who was sick. They'd take that child out and bury it and come back the next day and the other child would be sick, dead.
Jesus.
And so the British hospital ships came and they said, you know, we've got preventatives for this. He said, I don't need them. They said, what? He said, no. He said, these people are dying of a bloody froth at the mouth. Just take some of that, put it under your, examine it under the microscope. They did. This germ activity just working alive. He said, now take it from their mouth and put it under the microscope. They did, and the germ activity was working alive. Now he said, take some of that bloody froth and put it in my hand and examine it under the microscope. They did. All that germ activity had ceased. They jump back. What is that? That, sirs,
greater
is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Praise
that
God.
Is the law of the spirit of life. Law in Christ Jesus that has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yes,
Lake had all
amen.
Kinds of miracles, which you well know because you got that book put into print. But
he
she
did.
Told me that every morning her father got up, dressed himself up, cleaned up, had a full length of mirror. He looked in it. He see that. He said, you see that suit of clothes? You see that man in that suit of clothes? God lives in that man in that suit of clothes. Everywhere that suit of clothes goes, God goes. So he was conscious that everywhere he went.
He was reminding himself that the greater one lives in me.
Exactly.
Wherever I go today, he's thinking in his being, the greater one's in me.
Absolutely.
One. We need to be more aware, if we're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, that the greater one is in us.
And we're his temple.
What does that mean? Greater means that anything you run into, he's greater.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Greater one. You are the temple that he lives in. But it's not a temple that's just on a hill. He said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them.
I
will be their God and be my people. Based on that verse, he said, wherever this suit of clothes goes, God goes. That's why he knew he could walk in where the bubonic plague was and he wouldn't be dead.
Did you read 19? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's our responsibility now.
That's right.
To glorify God in our body, because these things are true. They've been done. We've been born again. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit.
You have to keep conscious that. Brother Hagin called it being God inside minded.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, he did.
Being God inside minded. You have to be conscious of the fact, I'm a temple of God. Why don't you do certain things? The Holy Ghost is in me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to take the Holy Ghost and set him down in front of an X-rated movie.
No.
Mm-mm. Now, he's in there and he's not going to leave you. But he is what the Bible calls grieved.
Yes, that's right.
And so he'll take, you know, he's grieved by your actions if you don't walk in love. And what does it mean, grieved? It means that he subsides. Mm-hmm. He's not in there
that's
in the greatest and highest degree.
That's right.
He's in there and he wants you and he loves you. And he wants you to manifest him. He wants it so that when you lay hands on the sick, they recover.
That's right. Power. His
power. He wants you to display that power, and his power is called the glory. The glory of God was in the Old Testament tabernacle, in the Old Testament temple, and the glory of God is in the glorious church.
That's right.
So when you become born again, he becomes Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does hope mean? It means, I don't have it all yet.
That's why believers can lay hands on the sick.
Sure.
And they'll recover.
That's exactly right. You couldn't do it in your own strength.
No.
It's not anything just you as a person, but it's because you are the temple of God.
That's right.
And then as you read the word, like the plan says, and you're looking for the glory of God in there, the presence of God in all the scriptures.
Praise God.
Then the Holy Ghost is working on you. Now, the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 2 says, verse 19, now you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building of God fitly framed grows into an holy temple.
Yes.
So we're the temple. And we're all building together.
We're not on the outside anymore.
No.
Glory
and
to
God. He's in us individually. But then he's in the whole temple.
That's right.
He's in all the temple, the body congregate. The Holy Spirit is in there to manifest himself at your church when you meet together, the assemble together. Don't forget the assembling of yourselves together.
That's
so
right.
Then there, it should be glory, and it's going to be in the glorious church, that when somebody walks in the back door, if they don't have an arm, it's going to grow on. If they don't have a leg, it's going to grow on.
Oh, yes. I
hallelujah. And the glory, the very glory of God on your face, is people are going to follow you to church, to the church assembled, because we are to be a powerful,
praise God,
glorious church.
And it's going to be that way.
It's going to be. It's written.
Glory to God.
On today's broadcast, my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, and her guest, Billy Brim, are going to continue teaching us about the glory of God and the glorious church. Now, it's God's plan for the body of Christ to be a glorious church and a witness proof of his goodness. The church is called to walk every day in the glory of God. And through his glory, we can expect revelation, wisdom, and power to flow in our lives. So right now, I want you to get your Bible and join Gloria Copeland for today's Bible lesson.
You're just in time to hear more about the glorious church. That's what church we are. Glory to God. We're in that church. We are that church.
I remember hearing Brother Hagin talk about it. You know, you hear all kinds of things in church and all kinds. And he said, God's not coming after a weak,
no,
barely get along church hiding in the dark someplace. This church is going to be glorious,
yes,
when Jesus
it
comes for us.
Amen.
Well, it is in the Word of God. You got to go by the Word of God.
That's right.
And the Word of God, especially the book of Ephesians, is all about the glory and all about the glorious church. And we're using for our key verse, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives.
I
like
to
get a picture
part
here of husbands and wives.
Yes, amen.
And
isn't
the husband,
that interesting that that was the first thing he said?
Yes. Love your
why
wives.
Why would that be?
Important.
Because it's so vital, and because a husband and wife are together so much, and
yes,
they have to have love and patience and
absolutely
kindness.
You see, Gloria, actually every marriage was supposed to show Christ in the church.
Yes, it was.
Every one of them. Because that's a relationship of Christ to the church. Is he's the husband, we're the bride. He's the head, we're the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he says here.
That's right.
Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Now notice as we're listening to this how he uses the analogy. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved,
yes,
the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or
praise
wrinkle
God
or any such thing, but that she should be holy and,
amen,
without blemish, separated to him.
That's
right. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great
That's
mystery.
Unity.
This is a great mystery.
Yes, it is.
But I speak concerning Christ and
one
the church.
One spirit with
this,
each other.
This is what he's speaking of, Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. Christ and the church.
Yes, amen.
So I worked for Brother Kenneth Hagin 10 years, and 8 of those years the Lord was teaching me about the glorious church.
Praise God.
And then when he sent me out to preach full time, and I'd known from the beginning that I was going to go one day, he gave me this. He woke me up at 4:30 one morning, and he said, the church is approaching her finest hour.
Praise God.
It will fulfill its ministry just as his first body fulfilled its ministry.
Amen.
But it must be preached to as though it would succeed, and not as though it would fail.
Mm.
If you go out and preach this message, yeah, isn't that a good point? If you go out and preach this message, it will have something to do with my being able to change the church,
yeah,
from glory to glory.
Praise God.
The book of Ephesians is all about the glory of God in the church. And so that's what I left with. That's the message I left with, the glory of God. The book of Ephesians is about that. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ, has raised us up, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, in order that,
praise God,
in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So there are ages coming. Future is measured,
yeah,
in ages, yeah, and ages and ages and ages, and in all the ages to come.
Not decades.
No, ages.
Ages.
And in all the decades to come, he's going to show off the church as trophies of his grace. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace,
mm-hmm,
in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, we're in the age where the gospel is of grace. But the door is going to close. This age is going to end. Another age is going to come. But we're going to be shown off through every age throughout all eternity. We are the ones that lived in the time when we had salvation by grace. Now,
Praise God for that.
The end of chapter 3, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen.
All ages.
So in all ages is going to be this entity that's named the church, the body, the ecclesia, and its job is give Christ glory. And we're to be giving him glory, and he'll receive glory. Every time they look at us, he's going to get glory.
Praise God.
Now, God sees away beyond the rapture, away beyond the millennium. The future is measured in ages. And actually, I wrote
that's
it down.
That's a good statement.
And on Sunday, December the 3rd, 2006, I was praying upstairs in my house. And you know when you're praying in tongues and then you get English words? And I'd pray in tongues and this English would come out. The pilings, the pilings, the pilings. And my husband and I, we lived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for 3 years and worked on big construction projects down there for M.W. Kellogg. And they would, in that sandy soil, they'd have to drive pilings in the earth, deep. So I thought, am I praying about that somehow? And then suddenly I heard the word "weast," and I have a Bible downstairs, a "weast" Bible, which I hardly ever read. But I went and I read these scriptures out of Ephesians that we've just read about the eternal, our job in eternity is to give him glory
in the weast
throughout all the ages. And so not 10 minutes after I was praying pilings, I was looking in the Weast translation, and I'm reading it to you. "And you being dead with reference to your trespasses and sins, he made alive." This is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 in the Weast. "Because of his great love with which he loved us, and we being dead with respect to our trespasses, made us alive together with the Christ, and raised us with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that," now here you go, "he might exhibit for his own glory in the ages that will pile themselves one upon another in continuous succession, the surpassing wealth of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So the message God was trying to get over to me is how many ages are coming.
That is,
they're going to pile themselves one upon another.
Praise God.
In continuous succession.
Wow.
And he's going to exhibit.
Ages in continuous.
In continuous. They're going to. He might exhibit for his own glory. He's going to get the glory. In the ages that will pile themselves one upon another in continuous succession, the surpassing wealth of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So throughout all the ages to come, piling up on themselves, one age after another,
praise
age after
God.
Another age after
praise
another
God.
Age, he's going to exhibit the church, the body of Christ. It will be an entity throughout all ages. It will be known. This is the body of Christ. They live during that age of grace.
Yep.
So now, man fell and God fixed it. Bless the Lord. And praise the Lord. This is a prophecy that we're going to study a little bit right now. I gave you that prophecy of Ken's.
I got it.
Okay, you got it. No, you don't got it.
It says Kenneth Copeland prophecy.
Well, that means we're going to read it here. Ah, you got it. We're just going to read the yellow parts because this thing is long. But praise the Lord. This is one when he gave it at Southwest Believers. I never have forgotten this prophecy. It just sticks with me. And so I'm just going to read these parts here that are in yellow.
Okay.
And the Lord talks about he's raising up an end time army that is leading into this. And then he says, "I will have a glorious church. And the gates and the authority of hell will not prevail against it."
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about the glory in the church. Now, here he gets down to this. "For these are the days of the greatest revelations of all." That's going to be on the next page, glory, in the yellow part. "These are the days of the greatest revelations of all. In the future, out in the distant ages that you know nothing of, I'll give you a glimpse of what it shall be like. Never again, never in any age, never in the future again, will there be the likes of you?" He's talking about the glorious church. "You will walk the streets of the cities of the planets and the stars. I built the universe for you, you'll travel it with me."
Think about it.
Think about it. We could stop at every sentence and think
Woo.
About it. "And all of those that shall be born in the future and all of the years to come, as natural men and natural women populate the stars. You see, there are natural people. There's the sheep nations that are going into the millennium. Mm-hmm. There are the Jews that are going to rule out of Jerusalem. But he's saying that those people, and the Bible says they're going to be having babies, and they're going to populate, and one day earth is going to, the oceans are going to have to shrink, that there's so many people on it. And he says, and all of those that shall be born in the future, and all of the years to come, as natural men and natural women, they'll say to one another, there comes one of the kings. There comes one of the special ones.
Glorious church.
There comes the image of the Master. Oh, would that we had lived in that age. They are so special. They get the best of everything. Their Father keeps them in His bosom. Oh, we have it blessed, and we have it good, but it's because of them. They walk in the glory realm. They walk in the light realm. We have joy. They have ecstasy.
Praise God. What a prophecy. What a word.
What a word, Gloria. I never forgot it.
Oh, my. Now,
never.
Where did it, who gave it?
Ken.
Ken gave it.
Gave it at Southwest Believers. Bless the Lord. I put that, that's right at the first there. Never, never will there be any more like you. You fought and stood with me. We have come through this thing together as co-laborers. And you stood and believed when you could not see.
Yes.
You remember how he told Thomas, it's more blessed. You're seeing, Thomas, and you believe. But more blessed are those who don't see and they believe.
That's right.
Called faith.
That's right. That's faith.
I'm going to start at the beginning of this paragraph. Never, never will there be any more like you. You fought and stood with me. We have come through this thing together as co-laborers. And you stood and believed when you could not see. You stood and believed when all the forces of the evil were against you. You stand at midlife at 40, 50, 60 years old and face an enemy that's thousands of years old. And you face him in faith.
Yes, that's right.
And you face him in power. And you face him without flinching. And you face him without turning. And I will never forget it, saith the Lord, throughout the time that eternity shall roll. You've been pitted against the most evil system that has ever existed in the history of all existence. And where others have failed, you have stood. I'll never forget it as long as eternity rolls. And the down payment on my eternal memory, the down payment on my appreciation, the down payment on what I am to do through the ages is going to be expressed to you in the most powerful healing, the most powerful healing revival that's ever hit the earth.
Lord, we believe for that. My, my.
That's the glorious church, Gloria.
Yes, it is.
And it's your hands I'm going to use. And it's your mouth I'm going to use. And it's your feet I'm going to use. It's your money I'm going to use. It's your family I'm going to use. There are many of you that have children on the streets and you don't know where they are, but I'm going to go get them and I'm going to bring them into the kingdom. Right. I'm going to baptize them with my Holy Ghost and I'm going to use them in the greatest healing outpouring in the history of the human race. I created the smith that blows the coals. I created the waster that destroys. I can handle him.
Yes.
I've handled him before and I'll handle him again. And I'll tell him in your very presence. You, many of you, will hear it with your audible ear and see it with your eye as I move in on the scene and tell the devil in your presence, bow your knee.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now what a word.
Wow. What a word, Gloria.
My, my, my.
Now we skip to page 4. You're born of me, the yellow part on page. Well, I didn't number the pages, but right there. You're born of me. Now, here's Ephesians. Listen again. You're bone of my bone. You're flesh of my flesh. You're spirit of my spirit. You're mind of my mind. And I have been made wisdom unto you by Almighty God the Father. And so I speak unto you this tonight, and I say unto you that are spiritually wise, be wiser. Mm. Take the word.
Be wiser.
Take it desperately. Go deeper into my word. Those of you that have always been a stickler for the word, become a greater stickler still. Pay close and particular attention to your prayer life. I need you more now than I have ever needed you in my life.
Isn't that a word, my
goodness? Gloria!
Well, I'm glad you brought that up to me again.
Yeah, I'm glad I did too, Glo. Now we'll step over here to them. And you will know my grace, my power, my work, my name, my son, my spirit, my ways, my pathway, my earth and my heavens, and you'll know me as the resurrection.
Praise God.
For all will give to you insights and glimpses of the great resurrection. And I will show you resurrection power. And the prayer that the apostle prayed for himself is beginning to come to pass in this day and in this hour and in this century. And you will be the ones that will walk in the power of my resurrection.
Glory to God.
You're going to know resurrection power. You are the generation that will see my resurrection power replace limbs and parts of the human body right in front of your eyes.
Yes, Lord.
Without even having had to touch them. You're a little behind on this. I plan to already have this, and you haven't let me. But I'm about to do it. As my people will rise up and preach the good news, the gospel, and heal the sick and raise the dead, and I will go with you and I will work with you, confirming your words and your actions with signs and wonders following.
Glory to God. What a word, Billy.
What a word. You better take this down the house and let Ken read it one more time.
I will. I'm glad to have that again myself.
Now, what it is...
Then he talked about signs and wonders.
Yeah, and resurrection power. Now, here let's go back to the book of Ephesians, which is the book of the glorious church. So we just got a little time left here. First and second Corinthians. Okay. Galatians and Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says that he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. So we're the group that's chosen to be the glorious church and be in front of God the Father all throughout eternity. Now, he told us to pray this prayer in verse 17. I pray it every single day. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory. What does it identify him as? Father of glory. So this is going to have something to do with glory. That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding, your heart will be enlightened. So it's a prayer. I pray it every day for myself. It's a prayer that God would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Something's got to come to me by revelation.
Yeah, amen.
And he prays for three things. And every single one of them have to do with glory.
Praise
God. Number one is that I would know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Christ in you, the hope of glory. There are scriptures, and I may read them tomorrow. I don't have time today, which say you're called unto glory. The church is called unto glory. We're everything to do with glory. Number two, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? He wants you to understand that, what his glory is in the saints. He inherited the saints. We inherited him. He inherited us. And there's a glory deposit in us for
Praise
him.
God.
But number three, what does he want us to understand? He wants us to understand the exceeding greatness of his power, dunamis, to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What is that? Resurrection power. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4:6, I can't remember which, Christ was raised by the glory of the Father. What Praise did it God. Say in this word of God that came through Brother Copeland, Prophet Brother Copeland? It says that we're going to have an understanding of resurrection power.
Yes,
and that resurrection power is what's going to raise the dead. It's what's going to
resurrection.
We'll put an
awesome.
A creative. It's going to put arms on where they are to
oh,
and legs.
So,
so this prayer, He's going to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation on resurrection power.
Praise God. Woo.
Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead.
I believe it.
And God seated Him right at His own right hand, raised Him from the dead, seated Him at His own right hand, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named. And then He gave Him to be head over the church, the glorious church, what, which is His body.
What scriptures?
And it tells us that when He quickened Him, He quickened us. So there we are, seated up there with Him.
Praise God.
And that's a glorious church.
Awesome.
And that's what this book is about.
That's awesome.
And that's God's will, and that's where we're headed.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you excited?
Yes, I am.
I am. Billy's excited. I'm excited. Just, we should feed on that portion of Scripture.
Oh, just feed on it.
Yes, yes.
Feed on Ephesians.
That's right. We're going to do it.
Today on the broadcast, my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, and her guest, Billy Brim, teach us how to walk in love through the power of the glory of God. Now, you need to know that God's love is what empowers us as the body of Christ, and the more we walk in the love of God, the greater the glory of the Lord's going to be on display in our lives. So right now, let's join Gloria Copeland as she begins today's Bible lesson and learn how the glory brings power to love. It enables you to fulfill the commandment of love in a supernatural way.
Billy Brim and I are just talking again about studying the Bible.
That's right.
We like to hear the Word of God, and that's what we're going to do today.
That's kind of what we do. I mean, you know, when the camera goes off, we're still sitting here. We're studying it. We're thinking about it.
That's true.
My grandpa, he used to call that studying. Meditate, you know. He'd say, I'm going to study on that.
Study on it,
That
yeah.
meant he's going to
think about it.
He's going to think about it. He's going to study on it.
Hallelujah.
So after we say goodbye to you, we still studying on it.
We study on it.
And actually, I changed what I want to talk about today because I got studying on what we said about the glory. Now, the glory of God, Gloria, the presence of God's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not...
Destructive of evil.
It's destructive of evil. And that's what happened, you know, when that man reached out there and David wasn't bringing that Ark of the Covenant home right. And he put it on a cart, you know, modernizes it. Oh, I got a better way. We're modern now. But God didn't tell him to do it. He said, this certain family is supposed to do it, Obed-Edom. And you carry it on poles. Well, no, they got a cart. And that ox stumbled. And so this Uzzah, he reached out to touch it and he dies dead. Is God just mean? He's going to get Uzzah and kill him? No. It's the presence of God. And when
power.
It says in the Bible, our God is a consuming fire. What does He consume? Sin. Sin is not good, folks. It's not good to think about how much sin you can sin and get by with it. That's not, you should avoid sin at all costs. Because it costs you something.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah, to go. And what is sin? It's transgression against God and against God's word and against God's way. So what happened when there's great glory and manifestation of the presence? That's why they had to be so careful. God, he'd walked with Adam every day. But no, he has to separate himself. Then he comes back and he brings the glory back. And then they have to have this tabernacle. And it's got to have the courtyards. And it's got to have the holy
Perfect.
Of holies.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And back there is the Shekinah glory over the mercy seat. You can't just run in there. You'd be dead.
No.
And the high priest only got to go once a year, and he had to have sewn around the bottom of his... Somebody told me, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, it's in history. And
somebody said, I don't know if it was Brother Hagin or who, said he had to go once a year with great precaution.
Great precaution.
Yeah.
I mean, if I explain all the great precaution to you, you'd be surprised. And this might even be X-rated here. But... on the bottom of that robe was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. And they tied a rope around him because he went in there and they hear the tinkling of the bells, but they don't dare go past that curtain. They don't hear the bells tinkling anymore. And it's been a while.
They think maybe
they might have to drag him out of there because he didn't take the precautions right.
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, the precaution for you and me is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But... now, in the days of the early church, they had great glory. they had great manifestation of God's presence.
They really did.
If you even came within a shadow's length of Peter, you'd be healed. They bring people just to get close to Peter.
Jesus.
Well, it wasn't the shadow. It was the proximity of the glory.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen when we have these great healing revivals and
yes,
great miracles
Lord.
At the end. The glory's coming up in the church, the degree of glory. Glory's measurable. And so praise the Lord.
Amen.
In your own life, you're going to know Ananias and Sapphira. Peter said to them, I just been reading this the other day. Peter said to them, that all the people were bringing their money for their selling their properties, and they were laying it all at the apostles' feet. Well, here comes Ananias, and he said he sold his lot for, let's say, $1,000. And here's $1,000. But really, he sold it for $2,000.
It was a very bad place to lie.
Bad place to lie. And and Peter said, it was yours when you had it. You didn't have to sell
That's
it.
Right.
It was yours after you sold it. You could have come in here and told Peter, I'm giving you $1,000. I got $1,000 in the bank. He wouldn't have died. But they lied.
He lied to the Holy Ghost.
Gloria, I was thinking about this the other day. I think it was USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
They did a poll on how many Americans lie regularly. And it was huge.
Missed that.
Huge percentage of Americans that lie every day and know they tell lies. Whoa.
What percentage do you
recall? I don't remember, but it was really high.
That's
and I
awful.
Thought, now that's something. And see, that lie came in there. And so that's one reason why we haven't had a great high degree of the glory of God, the presence of God in our churches, because it brings judgment. And there'd
true.
Be, frankly, quite a lot of people.
That brings death sometimes.
Brings death.
Yeah.
But it's going to come up. We're running out of time. And so
I'm
the power
right.
of God's coming up. Now, we in the church, we've got one law. And that law is John 13. It tells us that you love one another as
Amen.
I have loved
yeah.
you.
That's right.
So the law is the law of love. Now, he equips you to walk this walk of love at your new birth. It is written in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Yeah.
When you get born again, the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of glory, he sheds the love of God abroad in your spirit.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So all you have to do is walk with your spirit dominating you.
That's right.
And the love is in there. So I'm going to teach you right now how to walk in love.
Good.
God loves us. We have to know. Boy, Brother Copeland's doing some great teaching on the love of God and knowing God's love for you. A lot
Praise
of people
God.
Don't know that God loves them.
That's right.
And, but love one another as I have loved you. So when I went to work for Kenneth E. Hagin, my husband and I, Kent and I, we were high school sweethearts. He was voted the most handsome, and he really was. I don't know if you know that I have pretty nice-looking children.
Yes, you do.
And that's the reason why. And here he is, this tall. He's dark and handsome. He's Native American. I like that look.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, she loved the blonde look, but I like the Native American look. And here's Kent with these black hair and black eyes and sweet. I
he
loved
swooned,
him.
I know.
Not only that, he's a football hero, all that, you know.
Yeah.
So we got married, and we married young. And
Would you mind telling us how young that was?
How young I was. I got married a few days before my 18th birthday.
Well, that's not too young.
And Kent got married a few days before his 20th birthday. So we married, and we came from different backgrounds, kind of middle-class American backgrounds, good families. His husband, his father and mother love each other. But my family was... We came up in church, you know, and Kent didn't. Now, his grandparents, back there was quite a history, but his father and mother, his father got born again when Kent was 16 years old. So here am I, brought up in this denominational church, and my mother and daddy had me in the church every time the church door opened. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, spring revival, fall revival, went to church camps. I was churchy, and it was good. I was brought up in the Baptist church, and I'm telling you, they taught me the Word of God. I learned the books of the Bible. I loved it. I loved church. I loved even training union, if any of you Baptists know about that. I even loved that. 6:30 on Sunday evenings. I loved it all. So I'm married to Kent, and he's a good man. His family's good. He loves me with all of his heart. But, you know, he'll go to church when he can. If he misses, he's not feeling bad about it. But we did. We went to church most of the time. He went with me, and we had our babies and everything. And tithing. Ooh, that was a biggie. I mean to tell you, we had to tithe. My dad was the treasurer of the church, every church we ever went to. And in the Baptist church, we had those little envelopes. And even as a kid, Dad would have me record the people's giving. So giving, that's big to me all my life. And tithing, I mean, I'd rather do anything than not tithe because not tithe. Can't we have to give 10%? What? 10% of my hard-earned money? Do you know how much that is, Billy? We got these kids, eventually four of them. We had four children, and the oldest was 5 and a half. And they would ask us, yep, they said to Kent one time, are you a Catholic? And he said, no, we're passionate Baptists.
Well, now that explains.
Yeah, that explains it right there. And we were very much always in love. And but, you know, you have these things, and so I go to work for Kenneth E. Hagin, and I'm in charge of taking his teaching and putting it into print. That's me. I'm the editor. So I would go to the seminar that you remember how he had those seminars all the time?
Oh, yes. We were there.
So he had this seminar on how to walk in love. And so I'm there with my little steno pad, you know. I'm going to make teachings out of this, written. So we go, and he announces it, you know, how to walk in love. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty good on this.
I got this done.
I got this. I just, you know, I only just have to get it for other people.
Yeah.
So he talks about love and how it's a law and how your faith works by love. And he said, now, here's how you walk in love. First off, you got to be born again, because we're talking about the God kind of love. The natural humans cannot do this kind of love. They just don't have it in them. They have natural human love, and that's not what we're talking about. And natural human love is selfish. And natural human love will say, like, mine are the best, no matter what. So we're talking about the God kind of love. So then he says, he teaches us spirit, soul, and body, that you're a spirit, inner man, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body. Now, he said, at your new birth, to walk in the love of God, like Jesus told you to, number one, you've got to be born again. Mm-hmm. And if you are born again, then this is true about you. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart, in your spirit, mm-hmm. by the Holy Ghost. Not your head, your heart, your inner man, your spirit. New birth, there it goes, it's in there. The love of God is in you if you're born again. The love of God is in you to keep the law, which says love everybody as he loved us. Praise the Lord. I know that. I know I'm born again.
You got that done.
I got that done. I had it done a long time, since I was 8 years old, or seven. And then, now the love of God is in me, praise the Lord. Now he says, in order to walk in love, you have to know how love is to tell whether or not you're walking in love. And God told us in the Bible how love is, how it behaves. And he said the best place for you to look is 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified Bible. So step one, be born again. Step two, know Romans 5:5, that the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Step three, buy an Amplified Bible, you might say. Or borrow your friend's Amplified Bible.
And write in it.
Yeah. Well, here, what I did, I've got a King James Bible with wide margin, and yes. I wrote in here what the Amplified says that love is.
Uh-huh.
And it starts out, love endures long and is patient and kind. And so Brother Hagin's teaching it, he said, love endures long. A lot of people do that, but they're not patient and kind about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that love endures long and might talk like this. You don't know how long I've been putting up with that old geezer.
Mm-hmm.
Or, nobody ever does anything for Mama, just me. I'm the only one that takes care of Mama, you know?
Yeah.
The love of God is kind. It's yes. kind about it.
Mm-hmm.
Love is patient and it's kind. And I thought, praise the Lord, that's me. I'm like that.
Got that one.
Got that one. Love never is envious, never boils over with jealousy. And to tell you the real truth, all my life, I haven't had too much of a problem with envy and jealousy. I'll probably here and there, you know, along the way, but it hasn't been the big thing. But some people are just so jealous.
Yeah.
One time I remember we were in a meeting and there was Mark Brzee and his wife Janet was singing. And this woman came up one night, I taught on love. She said, I want you to pray for me. My husband's not born again. I want him to be saved, but I won't let him come to this meeting because that girl gets up and sings and she's so pretty.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's pitiful. Pitiful.
Isn't that pitiful?
Yeah.
And so envy and jealousy,
now,
if you're envious and jealous, you are not walking in love. Because it's, you're just not. Okay, I wasn't jealous. Praise the Lord. Love is not jealous, not boastful or vainglorious. At least I didn't think I was.
Does not display itself
haughtily. And he would talk, Brother Hagin would talk on every one of these, which I haven't got time to do it on this program.
I'd like to hear him, his...
It's in that book of his. He's got a book, Love the Something Kind of a Way.
Okay.
Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. So if someone's conceited and arrogant, inflated with pride, they're not walking in love. Pretty good on that one, too. Love is not...
So far, you're doing well.
So far, doing great. Love is not rude, unmannerly. So my mother and father taught me not to be rude, you know. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. I'm pretty good about that even. You know, at that time. Pretty good about it. Love is not self-seeking. And then Brother Hagin said, now here you're going to come to the thermometer. This is going to be the one right here that you judge if you're walking in love or not. Love is not touchy.
Oh, yeah.
Or fretful or resentful. It takes no account.
Pays no attention.
Of a suffered wrong.
It
takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. What? How could that be? My beloved grandmother's touchy. I come from a long line of touchy people. You know, if somebody's mean and wrong and they do evil to us, we notice it.
Yeah.
Not only that, we keep really good records. It says it takes no account. Oh, brother. I thought about it. This one got me.
Did that sink your
this
ship?
Sunk my ship. And Kent, you know, I always thought that these things that he did, I should got to straighten him out on that.
Yeah.
And one thing he never did, he never remembered my birthday.
Well, my word.
December 6th, like Ken's. He never remembered that. And I would get a stew going for 2 or 3 days ahead. And I would say, I don't think he loves me. Now, we had children. I remember the particular time that this happened. He had to climb up 3 stairs to our apartment. He'd come in every day. I had 2 kids in diapers. He'd get those diapers. He'd go to the laundromat. He'd wash them and bring them back home. And we would fold them.
Now, that sounds pretty good.
It sounds like love. And every dime of his money went to us. And as far as I know, there was never anything about jealousy or anything like that. But he didn't remember my birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I remember this one birthday I got up in the morning. It was December 6th. I put his supper down, his breakfast. So I didn't say anything. He comes in at noon. He was close enough to come. I put his food on the table, but I'm in the bedroom. I got all the blinds drawn. I'm crying.
Oh, mercy.
But he don't even come in there. At night, he comes in, and he says, there's no supper, no nothing. I've been crying all day. My eyes are just like this. He said, what's wrong with you? Is it your birthday or something? So modern deals would say you should never... Who was wrong? It wasn't him. It was me. according to the Bible, I'm not supposed to notice a suffered wrong.
Not touchy, fretful.
Oh, I could tell you case after case, but we don't have time of me, of all the accounts
I've
read of everything. That's a break right there. So Brother Hagin said, if you've got some of this that bothers you, then you write it on 3x5 cards and you post it around the place of attack, and then you say it, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So I knew what mine was, and I wrote on these little cards, love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Takes no account of the evil done to it. I put one inside the cabinet door. I put one in my office on the steno pad thing. I put one in my places of attack. So Kent might come in, let's say, and this did really happen. He came in one night and he said, oh, what do you got, soup? He goes over and takes some of the soup. He says, what do you put in this soup anyway? I go open the cabinet door. I got my card there. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It pays no attention to the suffered wrong. Oh, such and such, he's... I wish you'd call Mom, see what she puts in her soup.
Oh, boy, that did it.
Go and get the cabinet door. Love's not touchy or fretful or sinful. Takes no account of suffered wrong. One night, he comes in, and at this time, I'm teaching Billy Joe Doherty's Bible school at night, his Bible college. And so I made chili. Now, even Kent knows that my chili beats his mom's. So he comes in and got chili. Well, I made some cornbread, really nice cornbread with a dark, you know, how you get it black all around in an iron skillet. He comes in, oh, chili, great, it's cold night. Where are the crackers? I said, honey, we don't have any crackers. I made you cornbread, hot cornbread right there. I don't know, I just don't feel like cornbread. I want crackers. Suddenly.
Something happened.
Something happened. I went up my little door. Love is not fretful, fretful, or resentful. And I felt the love of God come up out of me, and it went like fire, lava, through my arms, through my mouth. I looked at that man. I was overcome with a desire to get that man crackers. I left out the door. He said, oh, by the way, we're out of coffee. He doesn't know all this going on. I drive to the local grocery store. They got big old butcher paper up there. Two items are given away almost free to get you in the door. Coffee and crackers.
It's a sign.
It's a sign. But I learned how to get that love of God on the inside of me out. And you can do it too. Then you could be filled with the glory.
Praise God. That is quite an exhortation, Billy. Let's all remember that, girls. Billy Brim's back with us today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. She's got some more wonderful wisdom for us to help us live in victory. I like victory. I don't like to be down under. I want to be up on top. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. And the Word of God will, faith in the Word of God will give you the victory. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I believe that.
That's right, Gloria. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Good.
Faith. And how it is involved with the glory.
Yes.
The glory of God is the presence of God manifested. It's God's plan. He's going to move toward that glorious church, filling us with His glory. He's also moving toward, He's going to fill earth with His glory.
Yes.
Amen. Now, faith has something to do with it.
Yes.
And we've seen yesterday that love has something to do with it. How much glory you have in your life. How much presence of God. But faith does, too. So today's, we're going to talk about that.
Okay,
so,
good.
So we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. And the children of Israel, you know, they've crossed the Red Sea. And they're coming into the land of promise that God has promised them. So there's 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land. He took people from every tribe, the 12 tribes. And so they go into the land, and they go down to Hebron. I go there often. And verse 22, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Tarmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and that of the figs. They went down there, and they still have great big grapes down there in Hebron area. They had a cluster of grapes that they had a pole. They had to tie that thing on, and two men had to carry it See, God told them, I'm taking you to land. I mean, that's some kind of a land. It's flowing with milk and honey. So they go in there, and then they come back after 40 days, verse 25. And they return from searching the land after 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran. And they brought back word unto them. They were sent in to get a report. And all the congregation, and he showed them the grapes. They showed them what a great land it was. And they said, oh, we came unto the land, just like God said. It flows with milk and honey. And here's the fruit of it. Look at these grapes. But, nevertheless, it says, but.
Nevertheless.
The people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. We saw the giants. I guess that's why they got these giant grapes, for giants.
I guess so.
We saw the giants. And Caleb, oh, all the people, giants. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to overcome them. They're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report.
Oh, mercy.
What is an evil report? Doubt.
Unbelief.
God said, I'm giving you this land. He told them over and over and over, I'm giving you the land. It flows with milk and honey. We can't go in there. There's giants. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel. And they said this. Here's the report. Mm-hmm. The land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. I doubt they saw any inhabitants eaten up. And all the people that we saw are men of a great stature. That's a lie. They weren't all giants.
No.
Down there in that one place, they went through the whole land. They went down there in that one place, they saw giants. All the people are giants. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come up out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.
Well, they didn't know.
They don't know what the giants think of them.
Their sight.
The giants didn't say, you're grasshoppers. They said, we're grasshoppers. And my granddaughter was teaching the other day in a church, our church in Collinsville, Oklahoma, where Chip preaches, and she was a guest speaker on Mother's Day. And she's a television person, and she talked about focus and how on the cameras you focus on something, mm-hmm. and then other things get out of focus. Like you focus on this one person here, and way over here somebody's out of focus. And she was talking about, like, for instance, your focus has to be right. Has to be according to the Word of God. You're supposed to look in the Word of God and see who you are. In the letters, what you have. So they were supposed to have been focused on what God told them. I'm sending you to this land.
Those words.
I give it to you. He told them that over and over and over. And she talked about, like, you remember, especially some years back when anorexia was a really, really big thing the devil was pushing. Mm-hmm. And how young girls who were skinny as rails would look into the mirror and they said, I'm fat. Yep. Look, I'm fat. I can't eat. And they starve themselves to death. This is the focus right here. They're looking in their mirror. They didn't look in the Word of God as if it's a mirror. And they said, we're grasshoppers. The giants didn't say they're grasshoppers. They said we're grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so it's the same way with you and me. If we want to say what the devil says about us, you got up this morning, you're depressed. Oh, I'm depressed. You're a worm. I'm just a little worm. Everybody's against me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going out and eat worms. What does God say? Didn't you ever sing that little song when you were little? I'm going out and eat worms.
No.
Big fat woolly worms, little slimy slimy worms. Golly,
no,
how it wiggles,
I miss that
tickles
one.
When they squirm. Anyway, the first one went down easy. The second went down greasy. I won't bother you with the rest of it. But it begins with, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. That's not true.
A terrible thing.
God loves you. I don't think God loves me. He's nice to somebody over here. No, it is written. that God so loved you. He is love. And He has given you all things to enjoy. And He has done this and that and that.
That's why to be safe in this world, you need to know what the Bible says.
You have to know what the Bible says.
Then you can be safe.
And who wrote the Bible?
Know what to believe. Yeah.
God wrote the Bible.
That's right. It's His word.
It's His word. And He said, I give you this land. You go in there, you take it. But no, they don't go by that. They're going to go by what they see. And they saw those giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. So the congregation, they're giving this report to the congregation. There's several million people in this congregation. What happens? Chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now there's at least 2.5 million of them.
Now there's nothing that's happened yet. Nothing bad.
They only got a bad report. You know, there's a scripture which says that the man of God, I think it's Psalm 112, they're not shaken at a bad report. These people got shaken. You can imagine what it was like to have 2.5 million people crying all night, beating their chest, crying, oh, no, God, what do you do? Bring us out here for the giants.
Eat us up.
So all the night they cried. It must have been a horrible sound.
You know it was.
Out there in the desert.
Murmuring, griping, complaining.
Yeah.
Murmuring. Against their leader, Moses.
All the children of Israel, all of them murmured, verse 2, against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, 2.5 million at least, said, would God we died in Egypt. Now they've been slaves in Egypt. They've been treated terrible. Would God we died in Egypt. Or would God we died in this wilderness? Why has the Lord brought us into this land of all by the sword?
Unbelief and self-pity has taken over.
And our wives and our children will be a prey. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it have been better if we turned unto Egypt? Right. And then they say, let us make us a captain and return to Egypt. This could be a church.
This is a revolt, man.
Yeah, it's
now
a revolt. I mean, nothing happened. Not one thing happened, but a bad report. This could be a church.
Yeah.
Let us get us another pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get a pastor that doesn't make us believe God.
Or tithe.
No,
he doesn't make us tithe.
Make us do all that. We can just walk and self-pity and it'd be all right to have a pity party. We don't want to have a pastor that makes us walk just on the Word of God.
Or a pastor that makes us say right things all the time.
Right.
You can't complain.
No,
you can't gripe.
No, supposed to do it. Supposed to just march on in there and believe God to take care of the giants. Well, we want a new pastor. We want to go back.
Yeah.
So then Moses and Aaron, God bless their darling hearts, they fell on their faces before all the congregation.
Thank
and
God
the children
somebody
of Israel.
Prayed.
Praise God. And Joseph, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, they that searched the lands, they rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is good land, exceedingly good. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey, just like He said. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they're bread for us. We just crush them like bread. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. We're covenant people. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones.
Now they want to kill their leader.
Yeah. It's two and a half, 3 million of them. Everybody says this.
Dear me.
There's plenty of rocks over there. They all reach down and grab them a stone.
That's sad.
Well, with stoning 3.5 million, you not only kill them, you bury them at the same time, you know, not bother to dig a grave. But, something showed up. What showed up?
The Lord said.
And this is verse 10. I'm going to read it to you. But all the congregation bade stone them with stone.
Glory.
And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
Praise God.
Now the glory of the Lord, Gloria, is a tool of judgment. You can cooperate with God. You can have the glory and enjoy it. It's not written here, but I know the next thing that happened. There was a huge sound. Thud! They all dropped their stones at the same time. I know that's what happened, because they had picked them up. They go to stone Moses. And then, wow, the glory. I don't know if it looks like a cloud this time or it looks like fire. I think probably looked like more fire. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite sure that the next sound was the stone hit the dirt. 3 million stones go down. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me? Believing God has to do with the glory.
Yes, it does.
Believing God.
Unbelief won't work.
Unbelief won't work.
No, no.
Doubt and unbelief won't work. You're not going to see the glory of God, the presence of God move in on the scene with doubt and unbelief.
That's right.
How long will it be before they believe me? Look at all the signs I've showed them. And so he says, stand back, Moses. And Moses said, I'll smite them with pestilence, disinherit them, and I'll make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. So God says, stand back, Moses.
I'll fix this.
I'm going to wipe them all out.
Yeah.
And I'll start over with you and Aaron and Miriam and whoever else believed. Joshua and Caleb, just stand back. Mm-hmm. But that Moses, he is a man of love of those people. And Moses said unto the Lord, now he is not going to be able to offer any merits to get them mercy.
He can't say
there's
nothing. Nothing. He can say nothing good about them.
Nothing.
No. There's nothing.
He can't say one thing about them that merits God's mercy.
He just got to go for mercy.
So what does he do? He goes on the Lord, he says. Then the Egyptians will hear about it, that you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they'll tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they've heard that you, Lord, are among this people. And you, Lord, are seen face to face. And that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and night in a pillar of fire.
In other words, this is not a good testimony.
No. He's going on the Lord's reputation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he knows that the Lord loves the whole earth, and that he wants to manifest himself through the whole earth. And he's chosen these children of Israel, his covenant people, to manifest to all the other nations. Now, what's this going to look like, Lord, on your record? If you kill all these people, verse 15, as one man, then the nations will hear about it. And they'll say, verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, I'm begging you, let the power of my Lord be great, according as it has spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering.
Yes.
And a great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression.
He's pleading his case.
He's pleading the case in all the cases on God, who God is. He's merciful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got a reputation besides that reputation.
Forgiving.
You forgive. You are just. But I'm begging you, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your mercy, and as you have forgiven this people from Egypt unto now, I'm begging you. And so he got what he interceded for. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but...
Yeah.
Now here's a declaration, the Lord's declaration. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
See, God's on a plan here. He's removed his glory when Adam fell. Now he's come back to this people, came on a mountaintop, showed his glory. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want you to follow me. And his plan is he's going to take this people and he's going to reintroduce his presence and his glory. But this people didn't work with him.
They didn't work with
him. They didn't believe him. And so who's watching? Satan's watching. God made this declaration for Satan's good. He's saying, as truly as I live, I'm going to get this whole earth filled with my glory again. There's going to come a people that believe me.
Amen.
There's going to come a people that will work with me. And then I'm going to be able to fill this whole earth
praise
with my
God.
Glory.
Amen.
Right here now. See, faith had something to do with the glory. Yeah. It had something to do with the manifestation of God's glory.
That's right.
And they didn't work with him in faith. So none of them got to go in.
That's right.
Except guess who?
Caleb.
Caleb and Joshua. They got to go in. Because why? They believed God.
It says they believed fully. They believed him, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully.
Yes.
Then, this is God talking. Then will I bring into the land whereunto he went. And
yes.
His seed shall possess it.
Yes. And what's the difference? Faith.
Faith. He honored God. He believed what God said.
He believed what God said.
He didn't let the devil talk him out of it.
He didn't let the devil talk him out of it. The giant said, boo. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land and his seed, and he shall possess it. It's the same with you.
Yeah, that's right.
If you believe God right in the face of the giants.
Amen.
Right in the face of the giants of life. If you find you a scripture and you stand on it, no word of God will return to him void. It is written in Isaiah 55:11. You find yourself a scripture and you said, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the giant said. Here's what God said. And no word returns to him void. I can take it. I can take the promise. Hallelujah. I can see God's manifested presence.
That's exactly
what
you have
to
do today.
It didn't change.
Yeah.
God never changes, Gloria.
No.
It's written. He never changes.
Ken and I began to take the word. We came out of lack, poverty, everything. I mean, we had good health. It just you just take the word. Now, sometimes you get tested over it. I mean, the devil sometimes
they were tested right
doesn't
here.
Want to let it go, but he has to. Here we are. Glory to God. All these years later, we live in victory. We're healed. Somebody just thought, boy, I wouldn't want to say that. Well, that's the problem. You got to say what you want to come to pass and what you believe, not what the devil tells you to do. So that's just the way faith works.
That's how it works.
That's the way it works. You have a word. We are blessed to have the written word. We can look up the scriptures on healing, prosperity, peace, blessing. All we have to do is just let it in our eyes and our ears, get it in our heart, bring it out our mouth, and take it. And we have it.
Take the promises.
Billy and I'll be right back.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
What is the glory of God? It is the manifest presence of God for your daily life. It strengthens your relationship with God and makes His goodness real to you. Experience God's presence like never before with the Glory Package. Kenneth Hagin provides a clear picture of God's glory and shares his personal experiences in the CD teaching, The Glory of God. God is a God of glory. Now is the time for His signs and wonders to be seen. Discover the truth about the connection between the blood of Jesus and God's glory in Billy Brim's book, The Blood and the Glory. Overcome the enemy and be protected by the blood of Jesus. live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and be covered in the glory of God. How to Walk in Love, a CD teaching by Billy Brim, reveals that the greater your love walk, the more God's glory will increase in your life. Now is the time for you to live in the glory. Experience God's glory in your life today. Request your copy of the Glory Package for only $15.99 by calling 800-600-7395, or you can go online at kcm.org/TV special. Prepare to experience God's glory as never before. Request your copy of the Glory Package today. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Jesus said in the Word that you must be born again. Now, of course, He wasn't talking about being physically born again, but you have a spirit, and that spirit needs to be born again from death to life, from darkness to light. And I know many people watching this, you're born again, you're shouting amen right now, but there might be somebody watching who you don't even know how this broadcast found you. Well, let me tell you how. God is searching for you. He's coming after you. Jesus is after you because He loves you. And if you've never made Him the Lord of your life, then do it right now. And you say, well, how do I do this? How am I born again? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, the Bible says. And if you do that, you'll be saved. Just pray this out loud after me. Say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Wipe away my past. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I say with my mouth, you are my Lord. Take my life and do something with it. And Jesus, I ask you, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me and it came up out of your heart, then the Bible says you have been born again. You're saved. You're saved from hell in eternity, and you're also saved from hell on earth. And if you've been living a little bit of hell on earth, today that is over. You have a new life in Christ Jesus, and you need to find out who you are in Him. You need to find out what the Bible says about you. And if you were born again today, KCM has a free salvation package they want to send to you. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and two brochures that are just going to help you learn how to start reading and studying your Bible. And again, finding out who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is in you. So if you're born again today and you want this package, all you have to do is go to kcm.org. Let us know you want it. We'll get it out to you.
Every available voice. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has received the Lord's directive to spread the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around through every avenue possible. In 1973, KCM started publishing The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since the beginning, the magazine has been a shareable resource with word-based articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and special guest teachers. Through the decades, the magazine has helped millions worldwide build their faith and encourage their daily walk with God. The Good News Gazette in the center of each magazine is where you'll find inspiring testimonies from partners all over the world.
You have a reassurance that what He did for one, He'll do for the other, and He's no respecter of persons, and He can do it for you too.
Today, almost 390,000 physical copies of the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed each month to 198 countries and territories on 4 continents in 6 languages. In addition, the magazine can be read online at kcm.org and shared with your family and friends from your computer or mobile device, all with a click, sending the word to more people in more places faster than before. Partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and receive your free magazine.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory is Offering Day, and I want to read a scripture to you that's been familiar to us already this week. It's from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Amplified translation of this scripture talks about an ever-increasing splendor. I'm going to tell you something. There is no area, no facet of your life that the glory of God can't touch and transform and take you from one degree to the next. And if you have been experiencing great glory in your life, well, here's the good news. There's more. And if you haven't been experiencing it, here's the good news. There's more. You can experience the transforming power of the glory of God, and that includes in your finances. Like I said, there's not one area of your life that can't be touched by the glory. So this all begins with sowing. It's this cycle of sowing and reaping. And there are people watching right now, partners with this ministry. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Since you've partnered with this ministry, many of you have seen the glory of God in your finances. You've seen it in your family. You've seen it in your business, your ministry. And if you're not yet a partner with this ministry, I invite you right now, go before the Lord. Find out if you've got an assignment alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to preach and teach the uncompromised word of faith all over the world. And if you do, get on board. Get on board with your faith, get on board with your finances, and watch the windows of heaven opened above you. And we pray this all the time. We pray that our partners would see and know that their seed into this ministry is opening up a door of access for God to go to work in their lives. And we pray the same thing for you today. So if you're ready to sow, you can do it online. There are a number of different ways that you can be a part of what's going on here at KCM financially. Find out today more about being a partner. Go to kcm.org. And while you're there, if you've missed any of the broadcasts this week, of course, you can catch up totally free. You can watch again at KCM's Roku channel. And then next week, Brother Copeland will be back on the broadcast sharing about faith in the love of God that brings results. We'll see you then. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
This is my preaching buddy for 50 years.
50 years.
50 years.
Man, we must have started when we was three.
And 2019 is going to be the biggest year ever. We're a team again. We're going to preach together all year long, 2019. And if you miss it, it's your fault. we want you to be there.
April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri, U.S. May 25th through June 4th, join Pastors George and Terry Pearsons for Kenneth Copeland Ministries' first ever Israel tour. June 6th through 8th, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, California, USA. July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
The Lord said, I want you to be teaching and preaching on believing the love, having faith in the love of God, and keep one hand on faith and healing as you teach and preach on believing the love.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.